Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. I am here today with the wonderful Lucy Sheridan. I am so, so excited to finally be talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's beyond a pleasure. It's so great to kind of see you after kind of Facebook stalking and Instagram loving for so long.
I love it's been going both ways completely.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi, should we be friends? Let's catch up on Skype. That's the wonderful thing of having something where you're allowed to do interviews. It's like an excuse to just call someone that you think is cool and let's chat.
No, thank you, internet. Yeah,
exactly. So I thought I'd invite the rest of you to just see what we're chatting about. So just for those of you who don't know Lucy, Lucy's absolutely amazing. She is, do you call you're a comparison coach, which I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, but I think the world's only comparison
coach. Oh, exactly. I was going to say UK's only, but I think it's the world's only comparison coach. So we're going to talk a lot about that. But also what is amazing is that Lucy just kind of appeared as if from nowhere and co-wrote Higher Selfie, a Hay House book. I was just like, wow, how do you do that? So, and it's just the most, it's a brilliant book. I love the way it's described as the gateway, where is it? It's the gateway
drug. It's just like the pot of the spirituality world.
Exactly, which is just brilliant. It's just like a wonderful kind of introduction. And I think particularly for people who aren't used to actually sitting down and having a chat about life and me and what am I doing with it? And actually there are things that we can do. It's just such a wonderful introduction to that.
Thank you very much. I really receive that. I'll pass it on to Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, why don't we just start off talking about that journey of going from what you were doing to suddenly being asked by Hay House to write a book and having Higher Selfie published?
Oh, gosh, of course. I'll try and keep this into a fairly medium-sized nutshell because the rambling potential is enormous. I used to work in advertising. I used to be a brand strategist for, I think nearly 10 years or so. About 3 years or so, I went self-employed and I was doing freelancing strategy, but also kind of set up my own coaching practice, having done my training. And what I noticed in terms of my journey was that when I decided to go self-employed, it wasn't something necessarily that happened overnight, but it was this whisper that grew into quite a loud shout. And unfortunately, I kind of started suffering with anxiety. And psychologically, in my work life and my personal life were just completely out of balance. And I had a bit of a breakdown, to be honest. And I'm absolutely open, transparent about that and not embarrassed about it at all, because I think we all need to talk about how we can struggle up here as much as we can in our minds and our bodies too. I knew that going self-employed was going to be right for me, and I had to exit this non-stop pressure cooker of advertising. I just decided it was not serving me, and I was never going to live the life that I really felt I wanted to if I was going to stay there. So I started my own business and doing those two things. With the coaching, I started with a very general message, almost like about work-life balance, because I think it was a case of teach what I need to learn back then. And I certainly managed to kind of crack things and manage, was going for quite a high level of improvement, even though I would never aim for perfection. And it felt like that would maybe where my voice would be, I suppose, or just what I would do a lot of. But what I noticed was whenever I started talking about comparison, whether it was on the blog, a Facebook post, even over the table in the pub with friends, the conversation would run and run. And of course, social media would get brought into that too. So it was one day I kind of woke up and I felt like, okay, I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to see if this is a thing. And I'm going to run myself the tester. For 3 months, I'll call myself a comparison coach. And if anyone finds me, that's what I'll be talking about, supporting people with, or holding a discussion about, just to get a debate going. Because one thing I'd really noticed about kind of generationally speaking too is that, so I'm 33 and I recognize that my mum would kind of see me like, you know, at the kettle of my phone. And she'd be like, oh, you're on your Tamagotchi again. I'm like, mum, I'm running my business, or mum, I'm replying to an email or something. And what I suddenly realised, I say suddenly, but what became very clear is that we are becoming a generation of people that thought we were making up this anxiety, that we needed to get over it, that we weren't almost like robust because, you know, comparison was such a an increasing area of focus for us. And what's great is with the focus has come awareness, but we don't really know what to do with it. It's like holding a hot potato and throwing it from one hand to the other. And we've got some sources kind of saying, get over it. You're not, you know, you haven't got self-focus. You just need to get on with it. It's not going to help anyone comparing. But yet we're still feeling it, and we're not making up the feeling itself. So I really felt like I wanted to be a champion for people like me. And because I was feeling comparison too, but had managed to really get a great set of tools together that was able to kind of collapse the recovery time from it, I suppose.
Yeah.
I attended a school reunion about 5 years ago, and I know everyone like, it's always had like a sharp intake of breath, like, oh, what was it like? And some people like, no, and others yes. And I've got to say, on the day itself, I had a great time. Where it fell down for me was through all those new connections and having had a really great time. All those new connections meant more social media contacts as well. I was suddenly invited into the lives of what I would have thought my peer group. And because in my personal life, things weren't great, my now husband, but then partner's business was about to close and we were about to lose our house.
Wow.
So I was rocking up to this this reunion, hoping no one asked me about myself, because I was not feeling in a place of speaking positively about that. I was kind of, I think metaphorically speaking, like on my knees. So to be surrounded by people that had like interior decorators, there were a lot of red bottom shoes in that room, and girls, you'll know the reference there, and like amazing hair and huge rocks on fingers. And listen, that's just stuff. But at that time, that was how I measured my aspiration and kind of arriving almost, you know, which very ego driven, but I can out my ego. It's how I felt.
Yeah.
I think looking back now, having kind of being the comparison coach and seeing that as a big trigger, which really led me into quite a dark place of comparison I got myself out of, I kind of realized that I was definitely kind of sent for that experience. And that's kind of led me to kind of almost in recent time where I kind of met Joe Westwood then, who was happened to be a Facebook buddy. We met in the Facebook comment section of a Facebook group, which is the UK Spirit Junkies, so people that love Gabby Bernstein's writing.
Oh, yeah.
And she kind of invited me for a Skype date. And I was living in Leeds at that time. I should probably slow down a bit. My accent is quite strong. I was going to leave that time, and she was living in Nottingham. And so we were kind of like the northerners, like that were kind of interested in this like burgeoning spirituality scene. And we just kind of struck up a friendship, and we knew we wanted to do something big and different to really get people to understand what spirituality could be, because we knew how much we benefited from it. Certainly my spiritual practice and beliefs and the mindset changes I've made really helped me, you know, to become, you know, the woman I think I'm supposed to be, but also got me off like medication, basically. So I'm a big advocate of this, not an evangelist, but an advocate if anyone wants to talk about it. And she and I, you know, used to really vibe on it, and we wanted to do something live, but we were outside of London at the time. And also because the scene is kind of burgeoning, lots of things happening, lots of different pockets, difficult to get to. So we ended up kind of coming up with quite an ambitious plan, which was to put on this big mind, body, soul house party. And we took over, we managed to get, we achieved sponsorship from Lululemon to put on this enormous like live event, which was an unconference. So it's Higher Selfie is our brand name, it's an unconference. So an unconference is like something I'd never attended before I did one. My husband's in kind of digital analytics, and they're very common on like the tech scene. Basically, when it comes to an unconference, it's a day which is going to have a full calendar, full, you know, schedule of events, but you don't know who's going to be on stage until you get there, because participants in the audience vote for what they want to hear on the day. So that means if you've got like 9 books and 100 million Twitter followers, your talk that you can bring on to submit goes up next to someone who's working in their kind of parents' bedroom and has just started a Twitter account and it's kind of like started crystal healing, for example. And they go up side by side. It's about kind of leveling the playing field, not having any outspiriting, you know, which is kind of a term we use for kind of people like being a little bit snobby about other people's spiritual journeys, which we're not a fan of at all. But it's about kind of really like starting a big conversation and bringing the community together. And it was an amazing success. We had a great time. We'll be doing another one next year. More details when I have it. And it really kind of was the start of something special. 2 days later, our publisher got in touch with saying, we were at the event. Can you come in for a meeting? We think your ethos could be a book. Are you up for it, girls? No, you don't say no to an invitation like that. And so away we went. And I think we wrote the book in 13 weeks, something like that. 60,000 words, because they, you know, we've never done it before, and they're a really great supportive team. They're like, look, we've got some challenging deadlines, are you up for it? And we kept on saying yes.
Wow.
So then, yeah, Higher Selfie was published on the 5th of April this year, to our immense pride and delight, because we're really, really proud of that body of work. But that gives you a little bit of a taste of the journey I've been on in the last few years or so.
That is crazy. What an achievement. That's incredible.
Yeah, we're dead proud of it. You know, it's like Joe, my business partner through Higher Selfie, has got this great expression, which is F false modesty. As in, it is something that is an achievement, and we're really, really proud of it. And I feel so grateful and blessed to have had the opportunity. It is beyond my wildest dreams. Yeah. And I really hope it inspires other people to ask for what they want and to move on their ideas and not wait around. Because if we hadn't taken such huge but imperfect action, it just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't. So I'm dead proud of it. So thank you so much.
Oh, fantastic. So just to take a few things from kind of your story, I think it's, like you were saying, it's really important that we talk about the breakdowns that we've had. I mean, I had, now this is going back about probably 10 years ago, but a moment in my life where I really just, my whole life fell apart. Mm. And I really felt like I hit rock bottom. My everything in my life just seemed to just like burn to the ground, and it was like ground zero. And I used to say that the elements that contributed to that, partly it was a relationship, a very toxic relationship I'd been in, and all sorts of other things, but I say it was the worst and best moment of my life. It was the worst moment, because I really got to a stage where I thought, I don't want to live anymore. I didn't do anything to try and, you know, take my life, but got to a stage where I was like,
it's a dark place.
If this could just be over, I'd really be like, on. Just like,
and I don't
something
think
could
I can do another
this.
Day.
No, exactly. But what happened was, it was the moment where I then started to really actually create my life from nothing. Because I was, so that was the gift. I was now left with nothing. And it's like, well, what do I do? And now I'm just remembering back to it. The first thing I did was like kind of nestled away in my parents' home. I finally crawled my way back to, I was like, I think I need some help. And I just got, my brother had given me this book, this beautiful kind of sketchbook, and I turned it into creating a sort of visualization board, and like pages and pages. And what's amazing, there are still a few pages that haven't come to life. And interesting, the relationship page I could never do. I was just like, tore stuff out, put it back into, I could never get that one right. But the rest, and every single one, I would suddenly go back. I'd be living a part of my life and go, oh, open the page. I was like, I'm literally living that. That is it. That's
That shit works. Like, I used to be really shy about talking about law of attraction and manifesting in abundance and the laws of the universe almost. But it has allowed me, as it sounds like it's allowed you as well, to create the life I never thought possible. So coming from the Phoenix moment. And the thing is, you don't have to wait to get to this. Like, some people will never have a breakdown like that.
Right.
Sometimes it can be, we talked about this in the book, actually, it's almost having like waking up envy. It's a bit like X Factor sometimes. I was in this day, or this happened to me, or I had an accident. And without judgment, by the way, I don't mean to belittle that. What I mean is that to wake up and to really like put your hands out and ask for what you want doesn't have to be the result of, or the after effect of, a breakdown. And I think now what I could have done that might have prevented me from having my breakdown, and I love mine too, I would do it again and again and again even though it was pretty hairy back there, and it sounds like you've had the same experience, but it can be possible to make those tweaks and start the visioning earlier on. It's never too late, is it?
Even
no matter what life stage you're at, it's a mindset thing.
But
many of us in life do have that kind of they call it come to Jesus moment in the steep south, wouldn't they? But have that on their knees moment, which I need help, I've never prayed before, I'm praying now.
I was speaking to someone the other day that I vaguely know, and she was going through a really, really tough time, and there was a group of girls, we were all sitting around talking about stuff, and she was off to do a course that was really going to help her. She'd really taken a big action, and everyone was like, you know, really kind of feeling her pain, and I was just like, listen, from someone who helps people go through transformation, I honestly, I could not be happier. You have hit rock beyond rock bottom. It's gone worse. It's like gone further and further and further. And don't get me wrong, I feel your pain, and I know how hard this must have been. And but you are now about to go on your way up. And sure enough, she has. And I was like, and I'm getting tingles just talking about it.
Yeah, me
just
too.
Like, I
me
often
too.
Get people coming to me and they are just in tears and they're just like, I don't know, I'm desperate. And I'm like, fantastic.
Yeah.
Because now you're in a place where you're really going to make the effort to actually do something about this. Because when you're a bit comfortable, you're not that happy, but you're a bit comfortable. Yeah, I'm like, this is going to really take something for you to step out of it. But again, people do show up and they have the courage to step out of what is all right, but a bit there to get into something that's wonderful. And actually what you were saying there earlier about, you know, it's not always about going through that ring of fire, you know, sort of thing. Because, and I wish she was here, Vicky, my other half in Project Love, she's seeing her go through her wedding and her hen party and the incredible transformational power of having all that love wrapped around her and seeing how that has actually strengthened her and she has flourished and grown in that space, I think is the kind of the other way that you can also do it is you can, it can be, it doesn't have to be a ring of fire, it can be a ring of love.
Yeah, and it's absolutely right. It's almost like as long as you get the result, like, don't judge the method, don't judge the journey to it as well. Yeah. And because I hear you in terms of, I do think you have to feel uncomfortable where you are enough to go there in some ways, even if it's at your own leisure, kind of looking at how your thoughts have held you back or your past relationships, or, you know, there are all sorts of things that we maybe don't realize we have to heal from or look at. Yeah. And anything that causes us to just have a, like, 5% more self-inquiry, you know, it will produce a shift, you know, and that any shift is right.
Yeah, it is all about the inquiry. But and so when you're working with people with comparison, do you feel that the comparison is the thing that is causing the anxiety and the satisfaction, or do you think that the comparison is a symptom of something deeper that's, you know, I'm not good enough, and now here are my examples I'm going to beat myself with and constantly berate myself with?
I think you've got it there. It's the latter, in terms of the comparison is the conversation starter, but it's never the conversation finisher. It is the symptom. It boils down to some key things that we all share as human beings, having like this human experience on earth, is around self-acceptance, self-love, confidence, and just, you know, wanting to feel okay. And it's very like boiling it down to kind of its most distilled term, because people I work with compare themselves to very kind of materialistic things, but yeah, it can come back to they've never, you know, had a great relationship with their mum, for example. So it's a really valuable trigger, but it will always lead to something deeper. So a big part of my job is kind of helping guide them there with a really friendly but firm hand on the shoulder, as in, let's just nip this in the bud. Let's just go there now and get rid of the comparison.
Yeah.
Because this in comparison is like a really sophisticated self-sabotage, because it's like, if I project this against that bitch in accounts, excuse me, my language, you know, and she's just not very nice, she's holding me back. That's much easier, because I can sit with that and I can just sit here getting, like, I can sit in this bath of jealousy or, you know, dislike for her, and I don't have to move. I can just be here. And, you know, yeah, my ego knows I've attached that blame somewhere else rather than looking within.
Yeah.
It's the easy thing to do. But ultimately, there's so much insight there for us. So a big part of my job is kind of getting people to the so what. It's like, you compare, but so what else?
Yeah.
Like, don't stop at the judgment. Keep going. We're here, right? Stay here. And unfurling that with them and just lifting off the veils in a very loving way, because it's not therapy, it's coaching, it's about the now and the future. But my ultimate objective is to get people to self-focus and their next right action, actually.
Right.
Because once you start doing things, you start to be the person you want to be, and then everything changes. So it's not just about kind of leaving with homework and a to-do list, but what's the next right action? If, like, I was on Facebook Live recently talking about using a client's example, that she was kind of burning with jealousy about a girl that always travels first class and always seems to be checking in like amazingly exotic airports away. Now, her dissatisfaction with where she's at has nothing to do with her friend's air miles, but it turns out it had everything to do with the fact she'd not had a proper break in 12 months, really.
Yeah.
You know, she had, and not really turned off and was frazzled, frankly. You know, when I actually saw her, I was like, geez, are you all right? Let's sit down and talk about what's going on.
Hello, friend. Yeah.
I've got a golden retriever down there, Mike, making an appearance. So don't worry, this is a very animal-friendly conversation. But through talking to her, what was absolutely clear is that she had no sense of self-care. She'd been burning at both ends for too long. And so her next right action was to see her boss and just book a couple of weeks off. And her boss willingly said, yeah, of course, like, I've been trying to get you to do this for a while, but she hadn't been able to hear and receive that because she hadn't been in a state of having the insight about what the comparison was teaching her.
Yeah.
So comparison is always the key start of the conversation, but very individual basis. It's then like following the breadcrumbs back to where it started. Because also what, like, so I still compare myself to some people, things, brands, you know, stories, whatever. But I can collapse the time of recovery to get over it. So it doesn't like pull me down like, you know, water going down a plug hole, which it used to. But I recognize now that I have certain avatars of comparison. So it's like, there's a great book by Gay Hendricks called The Big Leap.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of talks about basically like new level, new devil. So you can kind of move through, you know, up to a new level, whatever that is for you, whether it's finding happiness in a new relationship, getting a dog or a cat, or going on that great holiday, or healing, or, you know, apologizing to someone that cleans energy. But it will take you up a level. And with that comes a new challenge. But I recognize my comparison avatars show up all the time, but it'll have a different face. So it might be like, you know, for example, I've been investing a lot financially and energetically in terms of like understanding the very best ways to run and grow a business. And so with my own coach. And so now I'm kind of having conversations at a different level that I was having 2 years ago. So now I can compare myself to other people that are doing this business in a certain way.
Yeah.
So and yet it has nothing to do with that individual. And I'm clever to that now. So I'm like, oh gosh, here we are again. Okay, let's take the lesson. I can unpack that. And I do talk a lot about being very, I'm very self-observational, but I don't try and judge myself. Because I also know at my root, I'm always just trying to do my best. Yeah. I might be a bit misguided sometimes, but I genuinely am trying to do my best. And so, you know, comparison will kind of show up and bite you on the bum when you think you've kind of got over one furlong, but it can also illuminate where there might be some other work to do.
Yeah.
You know, as in, oh, my relationships are great, or I'm really happy and independent and I'm single right now. I know love's on its way and fantastic. Oh, but hold on, you know, that guy got promoted before I did at work. Or that guy's freelance business is doing much better than mine. It's like, oh, you can swap comparison because the avatar will kind of show up for us.
So would you say then that it's any time really that you are that you're sort of thinking a lot about what someone else is up to, or that you notice a grumbling going on, or you notice a kind of like looking on Instagram and feeling suddenly a charge of like, sort of thing. So you're like, do you then go, hold on, right, let's take a look, because I love what you're saying. Because when I first looked about comparison coach, I was like, that is super niching. And I was like, but what was so interesting was I think it then just started to trigger a whole thing in me. And it really, I went through, I think about a month ago, perhaps because knowing that I was going to do this interview, I started to notice how much I compared and how much I judged. And it was something that I didn't really want to acknowledge because I felt such shame around it.
It feels a bit gross, doesn't it?
Isn't it gross? It's like, oh my God.
I feel it all the time, yeah.
And I'm like, gross. Oh, no, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to have that in me. I was just like, well, you do. So you're going to have to go into it and be with it. And so that voice, that judging, comparison voice, really came to the forefront. And it was particularly out in the street, just strangers. Yeah. It was a stranger comparison. And I noticed where I would be picturing myself either above or below. And it was like neither one was, I mean, I probably felt more comfortable picturing myself below people, but picturing myself above people, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe how much of this is in me and how much, and what I realized and at the core of it was that in doing that and always having myself somewhere on a ladder, on a scale, on a hierarchy of people and judgment, is that I was disconnecting myself from that kind of constantly flowing source of love that we have between human beings. And it was that I was just like, that is what it's costing you.
Oh, and absolutely. So I do some work around this. I'll as part of working with someone, I'll understand their comparison metrics. Wow. Because my comparison metrics are different to your comparison metrics. And they're equally changing. I talk about it a bit like being the stock exchange, numbers going up, 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 down, 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 and being shouting around.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all invisible and totally unique to you. So our measures aren't, it's not even like, well, I've got 6 grams of comparison in my work, but only 2 grams in my love, you know, my love life, because there's no metric can get the same, but the feeling is there. And I do think there's a scale. So for example, you talked about the, ugh, meh. Right, and I've been and occupy that scale regularly. It's like a rainbow colour, right? It goes from like dark to light and everywhere between. But I've also been at comparison where I've been obsessed with certain people. Mm. And I would have gone out of my way to like check their Facebook. Like, I'm in the queue for a bar on holiday, I'm checking their Facebook. Or I'm going to bed, I'm checking their Facebook. A bit like, and I haven't.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I have done that.
Like X, or it might be like, you know, from my reunion, there were a couple of people that I just like, I just really want to be you, and I'm so far away from you right now. So this is really great bait for my comparison, you know, and it kept me really small and really bitter, really angry. And I did not, God, I wouldn't know that girl if I passed her in the street, thank God. Now, but I went there, yeah. You know, and there was the scale of it too. And I would say, like, again, like, don't judge it, because we all do it, but it's the awareness. That's... and aiming to reduce it. That is, you know, it's progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
I did like a Facebook Live about this recently, as in like, and I kind of said in the title of what I don't want you to know about me is that I still compare myself, but all I'm doing is my best, and it's massively reduced, and it's very occasional now, and my life is fantastic because of that, because this was a thing, it's like that teach what you need to learn.
Yeah.
So this was my thing, but it's I'm ashamed of it still. It's a pretty gross feeling to not wish someone well who's just another human being on earth, you know, and yet it can come so easily to us, can't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit frightening, actually. I think it's okay for us to be vulnerable about that.
Yeah, because I think it is in our makeup, and I think it's, you know, it's a tribal thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you go back to the sort of tribal, that sort of sense of, you know, belonging, in order to have that strong sense of belonging, and I'll do anything to protect my tribe and stay part of the tribe and keep those tribes together, we have to mean that everyone else that's in another tribe is like less than us.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be with them. No. We are the best tribe ever in the world. And I think there is still that. And that's what I was kind of, as I was bringing awareness to it and going, just own this and it's okay. Probably most people have this going on, maybe not as much as I have it going on in the background, and that's okay too. But it was just listening to it and starting to understand, where is this coming from? And, you know, and a lot of it is programming, and therefore a lot of it you can unpick. And
well, you got it. And let's not forget, you know, we were compared when we were like still like warm from our mummy's tummies. Like, you know, your weight was compared to the baby in the next kind of cubicle to you when you were born or whatever. And then, you know, how quickly you grew when you walked, when you started school, your grades. I mean, there's no judgment about it, but this has always been around. And it's been in our ether to pick up on. And the minute we started noticing, the minute we take it on ourselves, then, you know, for example, so-and-so got a swimming badge and I didn't, but we all swam the same. No, I'm not the same. And that's it. And that's where kind of like the big like lie that we're not connected, that we're ranked. I think it's Gloria Steinem, the famous feminist writer, said, the biggest thing we need to remember is we are linked, not ranked. But that's what we're taught. That's what we observe, is that we are ranked. And like, well, there are levels and there are matrix, and it's wrong.
It's all through our education.
Yeah, you got it.
Different classes, different levels. I mean, you immediately pitch to that. It's just like I was always in the bottom class or whatever. I was always in the top class.
Yeah. And then what about your physicality as well? Like too fat, too thin, like too hair too short, hair too long, not tall enough, not small enough. And, you know, because of photoshopped images. I mean, everything we look at and touch could in some way reinforce the comparison. So that's why not judging it's really important. And that's why also, you know, clicking fingers and just getting over it isn't an option either. Because it is an element of unfurling and unpeeling of that too.
Yeah.
Even question, like even a bit of self-inquiry around it, as in, hey, I'm really glad that I actually noticed that judgment. I always kind of think, you know, oh, I'm always all about kind of karmic repercussions. I'm like, okay, I have to do a random good deed for someone, or I have to give that person a compliment and mean it. Like I have to reset this because I want to show myself that I will not accept, but that I am worthy and capable of choosing an alternative way of looking at it.
I like
and that's
that.
Really impactful, because then it's all part of being part of the chain reaction of positivity. Because if you are that good action and you are that light in the world and you pass it on to someone else, it means they won't, for example, shout at the kids in the supermarket because you made them smile. They won't bib at the traffic lights. It means they'll let you go in front to take the seat on the tube. And they're the little micro positive actions that make life a really lovely place to be.
Yeah.
And without them, we're all buggered.
Yeah. So when it comes to love and relationships, which is obviously what we talk about a lot in Project Love, where do you see comparison coming in to that whole field, and how does it kind of impact on that, and how do you help people through that with comparison?
Oh, I think this is a really great question, although they all have been, because there's just so much potential for it, because we're kind of taking it on first hearing it. You've got those that maybe are looking to be in a relationship that aren't yet, and I think the word is yet.
Yeah.
Those that are in relationships but are comparing the journey. So, for example, oh, hold on, they're engaged after 6 months and we're about to crack on for 5.5 years. Love.
Yes.
And then you've got, you know, relationships that go through seasons and being at different seasons, yet comparing, you know, for example, someone coming home with flowers every day, someone who is kind of doing too much time at work and you can't even get together for a dinner. So I think comparison can creep in a myriad of ways there. One thing it has in common, though, is it's about looking outside ourselves for the happiness, for example, and perhaps putting a lot of pressure and responsibility on another person to be this generator of our happiness.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you're feeling really cool in a relationship and things are going really well, the fact that he or she isn't back for dinner a few nights in a row is like, well, I know they're working really hard, so I might take them away for a surprise holiday break. Or, you know, Friday night, we're going out for pizza. It doesn't matter. We're going to have a couple of bottles of Plonk and it's going to be a great evening. We'll celebrate together and we will be with each other. Leave the phones at home. When you're not in a place of feeling like they're working really hard, I want to support them and lift them up because I feel like that's what they do for me, it can then turn into they're not even home for dinner. Oh my goodness. If our relationship is in such doldrums that they can't even make it home for dinner, I'm not even going to get an apology or an acknowledgement of that. And then again, that gets into the kind of water down the plug hole kind of momentum of like, oh, and yeah, actually, I think they nearly forgot my birthday. Oh, and he or she was really rude to my mum last time I saw them. And before you know it, we are having this kind of silent criteria of what it is to be a good partner, which is playing in our head. And then, goodness me, for goodness sake, don't then go onto Facebook and then see people checked in at, you know, enjoying another amazing meal at the Ace Hotel in New York or something for another surprise break. I mean, that is just like pouring paraffin on a flame. And I think it can happen at any time in a relationship. Pre-relationship, when someone's in, you know, independent, I like to call it, single, whichever your word is, but, you know, having kind of an independent experience that time, it can sometimes feel like, you know, there'll be almost, I hate the expression, but like left on the shelf almost.
Yeah.
Which I think is bullshit, but I can absolutely believe why someone would believe that.
Yeah.
Because it kind of makes you feel like it's almost like that zero-sum rule, you know, if someone else wins, that's one less thing for me. Like, oh, they're engaged now, which means there's one less, you know, engaged man or woman in the world for me, when actually it's like, well, there's billions of us now. We can't get out billions of us, but there is abundance of people, and it's about being open to it too. But comparison closes us off. And we know when we're closed off because nothing happens. We're not part of those meetings. We don't have random conversations with people that suddenly lead to, maybe you should meet my mate, and then lead to, we should go out for dinner, and then lead to, do you want to go on another date after this?
Yeah.
Because that's why it's that cliche, isn't it? When you stop looking, they arrive almost, because it's like you're in a state of acceptance, not in blocked by comparison or a neediness energy, you know, because they both have the same effect. They propel people away from us.
Yeah.
Because you can feel it.
Yeah.
You feel if someone's closed down and not interested, just as much you can feel if they're wide open and absolutely gagging to have a conversation or something more intimate.
Yeah, which is what we talk about a lot in our Get Ready for Love course. And that is where it's about stepping into a space. And it would be really useful to look at comparison. It's like, where are you comparing yourself, and what limited ideas about who's out there and what's possible is that feeding into? It's just like, oh, look, someone else has got married. That's one less. Like you say, there are already all the good men are gone, and here's yet more confirmation.
Because bottle's falling off the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've seen it with kids.
Yeah, and we call it the shitty committee. And the shitty committee is like kind of constantly looking for confirmation about these negative and limited beliefs about it's never going to happen. So if you're shut down, you're like all bitter. Who's going to approach that girl in the bar, as opposed to the one who's just like really gone into their comparisons and really kind of looked at their limiting beliefs and all the negative beliefs and really done a good cleanup, and it's just like, I'm really open. And like you say, I haven't found that person for me yet, but I'm looking forward to when it happens. And I went from a really negative space into being a really positive space like that. And a lot of it was looking at where I was looking out and what I saw in the world and what I decided it was telling me about what was possible and what was going to happen for me. And I think the kind of comparison thing in that is, I mean, I think that's what I was saying before, is that, you know, comparison, realizing that it's far from being a niche, is the tip of the iceberg. And you start, anyone, I think, at any stage, it would be valuable to go and have a look at who am I comparing myself to?
Yeah.
And what is that telling me about me?
You got it. And this is the thing as well. And just to kind of like add to what you're saying there, in relationships and in our lives, we can be really hurt, wounded, heartbroken. And that is a real thing. So of course there are going to be side effects of that that are going to affect how open we are to love and that kind of thing. And as much as it can be so hurtful to be in that situation, we have to take responsibility for where we are, even if we can't rationalize how we ended up there.
Yeah.
You know, like when a relationship ends and it just comes out of the blue, you're like, we were supposed to get married, or we were supposed to go on holiday even, or he met my parents, or whatever.
Yeah.
It throws us under the bus. But the sooner we can get back to the moment of like, okay, in this moment, I am responsible now for what happens. And it doesn't make it okay what he or she did, whatever. Or it doesn't, and, but equally, the way I acted as well, like that's where the magic happens. And that's where, like you say, the clearing up starts. And it's like, you know, when you break a vase, you pick up one piece at a time and you put it on the paper. And before you know it, you've got a nice clean floor you can go across and your socks again. You know, but that's really important. And comparison is widespread, and there are people that say they don't, and I'll be honest, I don't believe it. I just don't believe people that there are people that never ever and have never compared. I know there are people that compare and they get they actually have a great, you know, like a flip effect, which is that they see it as like, that's possible, that's there for me, that's another example and data collecting on you can have an abundant life, or you can have a dream relationship, or you can have a job that like lifts you up and never feels like a you know, a day's work itself. That's fantastic, and that's ultimately, I think, kind of almost like, you know, the holy grail position to be in. But I think it takes a lot to get there. I also think it's almost like a born not made thing.
I agree, but that's why I think it goes so deep rooted. That when I was kind of looking at comparison myself, I just suddenly was like, this goes so deep into if it's coming from that, you know, a tribal thing, we've all got it in us. And I think it's really important. And then it actually, you look at how it stems out into prejudice of all sorts, and it's just like, this is actually a really important conversation we all need to be having. Because if we're pretending like I don't compare myself for better or worse, and I think that's the other thing, it's like, you know, it's almost easier to own when we're comparing ourselves, saying, oh, I'm not as good as them. But what about when you're comparing yourself and saying, I'm better than them? What about that as well? Because I had plenty of that going on as well, and I still do. I mean, it's not like you say, it's like once you become aware of it, it's like going, okay, bit by bit, and just catch yourself each time and go, do you know what? That doesn't serve them, and it doesn't serve me either.
Yeah, so, and let's just like move on.
Yeah, and that's what really, because I just, as I sort of saw it in its enormity, I was like, oh my God, this is such a huge piece of work. How the hell am I going to do this? And actually, not that it's like it's completely gone, but with just a few kind of intentional, like, I'm going to put a stop to this. Like from this moment on, a few kind of rituals into the sea when I was down by the seaside. And actually, it was amazing how quickly it did reduce and how quickly it sort of did fade.
Yeah.
And actually, it doesn't take as much as you perhaps might think to make these fundamental changes.
Because what you did was you decided. That's what happened to me when I was kind of like under a duvet, like in this girl's feed again. I was like, I cannot do this anymore. I have decided I will not be under this crazy spell anymore.
Yeah.
I have decided.
Yeah.
And there, the just next stage begins. It doesn't mean it goes away. It just means it puts a line between then and now. And that's what you need. And then energetically can clear that shit up really quickly.
There is more power in that than I think I had realized, actually. I was just like, oh, did that work? I mean, I've done it with other stuff before, but each time I'm like, it wasn't really, I mean, I thought it was the beginning. Didn't realize it was in itself going to be a huge, so now it's also, you know, it's there, but it's more manageable rather than it had become so loud. As I focused my attention on it, I was just like, oh my God, what am I? I'm some kind of comparing, judging monster. up and down.
Welcome to the human race. Yeah.
And then I was just like, right, own it, own it. Because actually, in you also transforming this yourself, you're only going to be able to give back some good of it into the world. So just take this on. This is your thing. But yeah, it was amazing how quickly just deciding makes such a difference. Mm. Oh my God, we could talk on and on and on. And I would love to do another session with you one day. But before we go, how can people come and have a session with you, or is it a course of sessions? How do you work with people?
Well, you can find me at proofcoaching.com.
Yeah.
And I tend to work with people over time. I have I used to do lots of different coaching packages. Now I have one which is called The Proof.
Great.
And it's 6 sessions of working with me over time, and I take people from compare and despair to comparison free. Ultimately, yeah.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay, well, I will put all your details below. Thanks, this Selena. Video or podcast or whatever this has people have access this through. And thank you so much. It's been so lovely to meet you. And
Darcy,
I'm sure
you
this will be just the first of many meetings.
You
one
better
day,
believe it.
Maybe in actual person, so we
you
can
better
even
believe
hug
it
at the end.
I would love that.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
You too, Sonia. Thank you.
Bye.
For listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.